Blog Talk Radio.
This is all Jersey girls out there. Got no time for the corner boy down the street making all that noise. The girls out on the avenue, 'cause tonight I wanna be with you. Yeah, tonight I wanna take that ride across the river to the Jersey side. Take my baby to the carnival and take her on all the rides. 'Cause down the shore everything's alright. You and your baby on a Saturday night. You know all my dreams come.
We'll be right back.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Rack's Non-Rack Show. This is Sweepy stealing Rack and Tour Show. He will be on tomorrow night for your regular scheduled program. Tonight is Deborah Lee's birthday, so I am throwing her a surprise birthday party. So let's hope she shows up. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Sweet Pea, and this is a combination of AP and Hatter, and me throwing a birthday party for Deb. We are on All Poetry, one of the world's largest poetry sites, and tonight should be fun. Even though I've got people hunting for you, Deb, you better show. Hey, Rack, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I was actually getting ready to try and send her a message to get her and ask her to call into the studio.
Okay, real cryptic. Yeah, I already put it on the board. We're throwing a surprise party for her, so I don't think we need to be too cryptic anymore. And running the switchboard and doing all her fabulous stuff for us tonight is Pretty Bird. Hey, Pretty Bird, how are you tonight?
I am doing well. Hello, hello.
Yes, my coordinator here for the surprise birthday party. And then we have Hatter, my co-host. Hey, Hatter.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you're unmuted, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I called her. She didn't answer her phone, and I sent her a text also.
We're doing good. One thing you forget, we have a surprise birthday party. It's the birthday guest. AP, how are you doing tonight?
I thought we might have this problem. That's why I preempted this by getting a poem in yesterday. Wait.
Well, I don't know where
she
went.
Like she doesn't like Bertha. I'm just saying.
I know she doesn't. But we can do an unbirthday party for her.
I'm sure she's sleeping.
Oh, good. Well, I guess maybe the last thing she can do is listen to our show. Got all kinds of poems for you, Deb. Wake up. I've been trying to get her here. Never throw a party without letting Deborah Lee get no, I guess, you guys. It doesn't work. I'm not having a good moment here. Well, happy birthday, Deb. Your team's throwing you a party. I wish you were here to hear it. Hopefully she'll be showing up a little later. I'm pretty excited about everybody that did jump on board, and I want to thank you all. So since she's going to have to go and listen to the show, my first going to be is what's your favorite memory of Deborah Lee, and I will start with Hatter.
I'm sorry, you caught me off guard. I was trying to retrieve something. What was the question?
What's your favorite memory of Deborah Lee?
Oh, my favorite memory of Deborah Lee. Oh, there's a number of them. I think when Deborah and I were doing the contests, we would call each other Saturday mornings and Saturday mornings and go over our contest entries. When we were doing music contests back then, so I got her to sing these poems to me. It was and she got a little upset when she found out she didn't have to be singing them. They weren't too she was doing so well. It was great. Yeah, that and the green room incident, which I'm not allowed to share, but it's funnier now.
Well, that will be the two of you. We won't push that. I don't have any green room. Well, I have a few green room incidents, but I'm sure they're not as bad as yours. Some interesting conversations we've had in the green room. So I will go to AP, favorite memory of Deborah Lee.
Yeah, and I've got a really cruddy line, Sweet. I'm just getting all sorts of nasty feedback on my line, so I might have to call back in. But I can remember having a similar type of show to this about 5 years ago, and but I was going to be in a plane, and so I wrote a poem in the plane, and then I was going to be in Vancouver, and so I remember calling in the show to do this Elton John tune from the bathroom of my hotel in Vancouver. And the echo, the acoustics were great. I should sing in bathrooms more often. And it actually came out really well, which I was really surprised about because it was absolutely stuffed. And I don't know if the poem was going to make any sense or not because it was written across about 25 times. But it worked out amazingly well. So I just remember that as something that worked amazingly well. That's all.
I'm glad. Yeah, you should sing in bathrooms more often. Don't fall in bathrooms.
I was in an office chair or something like that, that could get through the doors or something like that. That would work really well, you know. So if I was sitting in the bath, that would be good.
Excellent. And Rack and Tor, you have a favorite memory of Miss Deborah Lee?
I remember joining the group trying to give her suggestions for the avatar. And she's like, I do them myself. I was like, oops. My first kind of interaction was pretty much putting my foot in my mouth. So, yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm talking to her, not knowing that she's like, you know, the force behind the force, the voice behind the voice.
The team leader of the team?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Pretty Bird.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you give memories to talk about on air?
Yeah. You see, now all the restrictions. All right, fine. Yes, back before I was pulled out in the open when I was still hiding behind my screen and refused to open the airways for any reason, I entered one of her contests. I had been in the other group for a while, never paid attention to it, was never on it, never listened, never did anything. But I entered this contest, and she asked if she could put me on air. And I was like, or read me on air. I was like, all right, fine, whatever. And she said such wonderful things. People, it has such, she was just so encouraging. She's really good at the encouragement, and that it just made me want to do more. So I always wrote for her show, for her sensual show, which was outside of my wheelhouse at the time, you know, as far as public writing goes. So, you know, so that, you know, a whole thing came of that. But yeah, so if it wasn't for her requesting, and I believe she requested it twice, that if she could read me, I never would have even paid attention to any of this existing. So, yeah, she kind of started the whole ball rolling for me, which allowed you to shove me under the bus, and that is why I am here now.
Yay. What I find interesting is that's also one of my favorite memories about Deb, is pushing me to my limits. Like, I never wrote sensual. Never, ever, ever, never. And she would just kept encouraging and saying, no, you can do it, let's do it. But, you know, just constantly kind of pushing that envelope. And I find it funny that she was doing that to you. And now she has you and I hosting the essential experience. That's hilarious. So she reaps what she sows.
Exactly.
She reaps what she sows. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, all right. I don't know, AP, if you got a read and run or what your deal is or what's going on with you, so let me know.
I probably should read and run. I mean, it's a shame Deb's not here, but I think, you know, we might struggle a little bit this week. Because, I mean, I was exactly the same. I didn't write sensual until Deb encouraged me. And then off I went, slowly. I'm training with.
Well, aren't we just
and then
trio?
I felt better. You know, so... It really was encouragement that did that, but I am sort of a little short on time, so I might do mine with a little backing track if that's okay, sweet.
Oh, that's fine.
Because because this one's a little bit outside my range. But anyway, we're going to give it a go anyway, because that's what we do. Yeah? So we ready to roll?
Yeah. We're ready.
Okay. Perfect. Here we go. Backing track. She packed a bag, Faith, one late night. Her voice is petite, mouth by them. And I'm gonna return tonight. Find when. I miss the show so much. I miss the light. Lonely cast face. Won't miss those new timeless nights. Band in sync here for a long, long time. Her touch round here appreciating rhyme. She's not the damn we left when all alone. Oh, sweet hat, no. A butterfly can. Butterfly turns prompts to crows, here is shown. Band in sync here for a long, long time. Her touch round here appreciating rhyme. She's not the damn we left when all alone. Hot street cat no. Butterfly can. Butterflies and prompts to prose, here is shown. Stars ain't the place to go to find bits. That fence is cold as well. And she's the one to rouse them. Rascals here. The law's license, I don't understand. It's just a job right round the week. A butterfly can. Butterfly. Band in sync here for a long, long time. Her touch round here appreciating rhyme. She's not the damn we left when all alone. Sweet hat, no. Butterfly can. Butterfly turns prompts to prose. Here is shown. Band in sync here for a long, long time. Her touch round here appreciating rhyme. She's not the damn we left when all alone. I see hat no. Butterfly can. Butterfly turns prompts to prose. Here is shown. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think we'll be here a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. In song.
Wow. I love everything about this poem. I love how it's, you know, her prompts to prose here has shown. And I actually also love the singing. I don't know how you're brave enough to do it, come back in and do it again and again, because I would not do that. I think you just nailed this so much. And, of course, I love, oh, sweet hat, no, I love that line. But stars aren't going to, ain't the place to go find birds. that fence is cold as well, and she's the one to corral them, keep rascals high. I can't do it in your rhythm or cadence, but I think you did beautifully, and I think this just really speaks to her. And I love the whole thing about butterflies. We all know that's her big thing. And butterflies and periwinkle. All we need is periwinkle butterflies, and Deb would be happy. But this is really beautiful. All right. I will start with Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
I just love a serenade. Even if it's not to me, it's fine. And you went full on, like, song in the entirety, not bits and pieces. How fabulous is that? And you hit the high notes, so that's awesome. And what a beautiful tribute. And it absolutely speaks to her heart and what she pulls out of people with her prompts and her encouragement and all of that. So how beautiful.
Thanks.
You are very, very welcome.
And Rack and Tour, your thoughts?
Well, I thought the singing was great. He did an amazing job on that parody. I think Deb probably really loves it. It's a shame she wasn't here. Well, I'm sure she'll get to save the playback. That's just one of those things. It was very sentimental. You did a great job, you know, tying it into, you know, the personal stuff about her. It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you.
Wow. And Hatter.
Well, I think we've got a shout out in this, at least a half of one. Oh, sweet hat nose. That was clever, man. No, you did. He did very major. She's our Major Tom.
She is. Yeah, she is. I was just trying to make the point. She does a lot of work through the week, and it goes without, you know, being seen often. And she spends a hell of a lot of time on the group, And you know, while we're there to support her and help her, it's always her that's doing the work. So wasn't sure I picked that up either. If I fell off.
Deborah's an amazing person. Behind the scenes, there's a lot going on with her that I don't know how much anybody knows. But she's a brave, strong woman. I love her to death.
She is. She is. She is. She's fantastic, and she does a great job for all of us and for everybody in the group. But, you know, it wouldn't be the same without her being there. And so it's worth dropping off a high note occasionally.
Yeah. And then Mr. Wayne joined us. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, Wayne.
Hello, crowd. I used to wish I could sing. I was joking.
So,
good job,
go from here.
Thank you. I'm going to have to disappear, sweet. But I wish you all the best in tracking Deb down. She's very, very good at finding ways to hide when she doesn't want to be found.
Next time I won't try to do a surprise. If anything, all I can do is this would be the best audio she's listened to, because this is going to be her surprise party forever. So I really appreciate the song and you coming to help me with this. And I can't believe I lost the birthday girl. But hey.
I wish you luck. I really do. You know, good luck. And good luck to the rest of the show. It'll go really, really well. In your safe hands.
All right, thanks, AP.
No, my pleasure. We'll talk soon, sweet.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Later.
Okay, so we're still looking for the birthday girl. We're putting all kinds of things out there, all kinds of feelers, and let's do what we're gonna do. Hatter, I saw you want to read your poem now, or you want to wait that till later?
it doesn't matter.
All right. Well, I'll put you back up on the board. So there you are, sir.
Oh. That it won't be this way. I wrote this like this. Always dreamed of a little sister, but brothers is all I got. A little one I would always protect and I would love a lot. I trained my hand to learn to write songs written as poetry. The time stood still, my family gone, I thought it was only me. Troubles and turns, what did I learn? I followed you here one day. Surely hard to read out loud, my words had much to say. Years would pass, little did I know that dreams still come true. Then it came one night on the air, my little sister turned out to be you. I found a place inside my heart where echoes were heard to stay. I keep it close and guard the thought that it will always remain, always be this way.
Beautiful, Hatter. You know, I know you have known Dev for a very long time. And I think, that, you know, it almost brings me to tears, and I'm not even Dev. But I think this is just gorgeous. I found a place inside my heart where echoes were hard to stay. It, keep it close and guard the thought that it will always be this way. I love, you know, the words I thought I would never say again. I love you, sis. Oh, okay, that didn't rhyme, but it really does. that's just perfect because everything in here is about, you know, loving her and being a part of her life. And, you know, I know that you mean a great, great deal to her. And it's the whole thing, nobody picks on the Hatter. Because Deb will lead the charge, and I'm right behind her. And, you know, this is just a beautiful tribute and a beautiful, just kind of like a letter to her to say, hey, this is what you mean to me and all of those. And I know it will always be that way. So, you know, another happy birthday poem for you, my girl. Wayne, your thoughts on this?
I said it was a sad, sentimental, and a wonderful poem. Love for Deb, she shines through this poem all the way. Did a great job with Hatter, and a lot of emotion in it. I like the whole lot. Good job.
Thanks.
And Ross.
Yeah, it's hard to be known as like a rhyming poet, and then you come up with something like that. You kind of step outside of yourself, and you give her that message that you know means more than rhyming. I mean, you know, it's all about the message, and she kind of drags that out of us, whether we want to or not. You know, and I think that's, you know, the big thing about Deb is, you know, the way that she's touched all of us in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rick.
Wayne,
welcome, bro.
I'm asking everybody on here what their favorite memory of Deb is.
Well. I remember it was good.
It was at one time in band camp.
Yeah, that was the day. Sunday night when we drunk.
Have you killed her yet?
I haven't killed her yet. Don't get around to it.
I'm still waiting to die.
Right. Yeah, we're all waiting to die.
That's a metaphor for life.
Isn't that true? Let's see. Who should we put up next?
I got Deb's birthday poem for Deb. Maybe a chance. It has everybody's name in it.
All right, well, throw it on the board.
Okay, got it.
And then, oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, pre-verse got everything that needs to be done.
It's there. It's on the board.
Hey, pretty. Okay.
So, you want to read it? Called Happy Birthday, Delightful Dead. It goes like this. it was Wednesday morning on a bubblegum day, tossing root beer ribbons and coconut cream for Pede. The labeled gunmetal name tags stamped on thorax, with Topaz ornaments and sapphire trinkets, were parties at. With clever flavor, Daffodil Deb's wielded birthday event, with a shouting stream of walnut whiskey poets went. A graffiti guarding Jay Hatter, and a pistachio hat on head. Sawy P and Wild Mouth carried command, future's bed. Sweet P was on a scuffed body of the antelope for ride. Wayne was on the right foot, wearing a Cherokee rawhide. Righteous Back was riding in the front on a scarlet cart, while Pursuing Pretty Bird was looking at the next, was locking on next to Art. CCL Steve and the KK was dangling on the right arm. Redwood Dave was clipped on hip-hip, way out of harm. Lincoln Bond's Lady's Viper Lady A lie on opposite hip without clothes. Chevron Shadow Sky was behind the torch on chest to pose. Licker's Ninja locking left elbow took Emerald Earth to lift. That was an Ember artifact dwelling we bought forth as gift. There's Fancy Flamingo Frank with his puppy showing me the way, and Blueberry Bond lapping soul preparing later to play. The Fairberry Rose playing Shepherd Saxophone Crest Waves of Jury. Dibby's Blue Bone Cake was ate without any tomfoolery. In? Everybody's picture's in the picture. Everybody's got a picture of this stuff in the picture. What about?
I have few loves, though. I'm on an on a skeletal body on an antelope for a ride. just so happy with that. I love all the colors. I love everybody's name in here. I love everything that's about this. I really do. I like Licorice Linda and, oh, my God, Seashell Steven and Khaki K. And, I mean, there's so many here. I'm trying to find them all. That there's no way I'm going to be able to.
It's a party.
But I had graffiti guarding Jay Hatter and a pistachio hat on a head. Saw AP and a wide mouth carrot commander's Peter. That's funny. Just saying. There's so much in here. I could just go and read the whole thing, but I won't. I'll be quiet. Persimmon Pretty Bird, though. Locking up the next heart. That sounds like her. Rackador, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Wayne, your creativity's on full display here. I mean, this is, I think, one of the reasons why we love you so much. You could do, you know, anything from, you know, taking someone out into the forest and lopping them into pieces to just, you know, telling us the story that just tears us apart. You've got a great way about you, and this is a beautiful tribute for Deb. I'm sure she loves it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Pretty Bird.
Well, I am assuming that the one that's being locked on the heart is the sexy vixen and the thigh highs. So thank you for that. And that is fabulous. That's underwear, but it's okay. It looks like a bikini from far away, and I am okay with that.
Female underwear.
I am all saying naughty, so I am good with that. But how funny. This is awesome. You took that picture, and there's so many different, like, images, face images, body images, like in there, and you just gave one to each of us, and that is just fabulous. You're wonderfully creative. And what a party. I want to go to that party.
Good party. Good party. All the whiskey poets.
My.
And Hatter, thoughts, Darren?
Oh, yeah, this was an amazing smile. Seashell, Steven, and Khaki K, I think those are the best. And what am I doing? Garden graffiti with the whiskey poets?
You're putting a hat. You're the gap in the hat, apparently.
Oh, that pistachio hat.
That's right.
Q and AP are doing some funky.
very, very ingenious. Agree with Rack. Imagination carries with you. Good job,
in there.
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely stunning myself. I am going to read Titus's best memory of Deb. I think that it's gorgeous. So I think that's I just have to find what I did with it. I just took it. Here it is. Okay, Titus says, my best memory of Deborah is she was the only host who off her head devoted a whole show for my 70th birthday. From an all poetry perspective, this is the best thing anyone has done for me, along with her co-host Pretty Bird, to be appreciated wholehearted. It is something I shall keep in my heart. Titus, my love to you all. I really think that's just kind of also sums up Deb very quickly, is that she's very much a giver. And she's got a few birthday shows for me. It's been kind of amazing how she pulls everybody together. You notice I did not do the long poem that she can do where she gets everybody to write a few lines. I cannot do that. That's just not something I'm able to pull together. But she definitely does it every time for a lot of people's birthdays. And it really amazes me how she can do it. It really does. So I love that memory, Titus. I really do. I thought that's beautiful. Okay, so where am I going from here? I think if I do my flip-flop, we have everybody. Dum-dum-dum. Okay, Pretty Bird, I would love you to read K for us, if you would, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Let me grab it. Okay, the poem is on the board. This is In Purple Flights of Friendship. And it uses, where is this? This is Happy Birthday. Where did I read it? Here it goes. A lot of the write is taking segments of titles from the poetry of Miss Deborah Lee. So this is Kay's wonderful tribute, made out of Deb's words and Kay's creativity. So this is going to be a good mix. And this is In Purple Flights of Friendship by Kay. Whispers from the waves after the rain freckles the neon senses in flight, not chasing darkness in search of home. A scent of familiarity and star wishes of sea salt brines through carnation hues. Hills ablaze in warmth of parental memory, pomegranate to scarlet, sea lilies, the four seasons of her, periwinkle to platinum in the cobalt moon is the butterfly through teardrops and ashes, in the golden rods of a day pirouetting, as kid gloves to sugar-coated rose petal wishes postcards. No sooty jet-black mystiques on this day, polished to fluttered in glittery tallowing is the order of the day. End poem.
Wow. Wow, that's just beautiful. I really, okay, that's just gorgeous. I love that you put her words in there, but the way you guys intertwined everything was quite stunning. But as usual, your poetry is very much that way. A kid gloves to sugar-coated rose petal wishes postcards, no sooty jet black mystiques on this day. I really like that line because I think every birthday should be like that. Just, I love sugar-coated rose petal wishes, kind of a writer's envy that way. But, wow, I got to say, that's just a stunning poem. I hope someone writes that way for me on my birthday. By the way, Kay, it's January 9th. I feel like I'm flabbergasted. I mean, Kay can make me flabbergasted, but this one, she did a really good job. I will not repeat all the lines. Pretty Bird, you read it. Go ahead and give your comment.
You know, I love the way this just kind of flows. I love the descriptions and of course, the periwinkle and the colors and the butterflies. But there is a way she put this together that just kind of pulls you into these different scenes, that scent of familiarity and star wishes of sea salt brines through carnation hues, hills ablaze in the warmth of parental memory, And for me, you know, being a parent and a child, it takes me to both places, to watching your kids frolic in the wildflowers and remembering, you know, your mother's, you know, embrace and all of those things in those lines. And she kind of paints these wonderful, warm little moments. And I love that line that you said, no sooty jet black mystiques on this day, because, you know, everybody needs at least one day where those shadows don't creep in. And this is just lovely.
I agree. Wayne, your thoughts?
Yeah, I said this is a wonderful poem. Perwinkle is a platinum in a cobalt moon. That's a good little line there. This captures the loveliness of Deb in every line. It's just a wonderful poem, and I can see Deb in every line. She did a good job of this. Kate did a good job of this.
Absolutely. Rat and Tor, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a beautiful way to do a tribute, to take the words from her titles and weave them together. It's still, you know, very much a Kate poem. There's a lot of you in it, but, you know, it's also your admiration for Deb and, you know, the tribute to her, the writing style, the way that she includes colors and things, but in your way. So, you know, it's a little odd to hear. It's almost like hearing your words come out of her mouth, but in a very beautiful way. And you know, it was very, very beautiful. Okay.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree intertwining her titles in there. And that's wouldn't be easy, being that the her titles tend to be longer. But yeah, she says Kay likes to come and show off. That's all.
And she has every right to.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Khaki K.
All right. Now we're just gonna. We are going to go ahead, I think, and put up Titus's poem first, and then I'm going to have. Let's see, what order? Let's go ahead and do Titus's poem first.
Okay, it is on the board. Just let me know when you want me to hit play.
This is actually Titus reading one of Deb's poems. So.
So you want to do Titus's poem or Titus's reading Deb's poem?
We'll go ahead and do it this way. We'll have him read Deb's, and then I'll have him read his. Okay.
Sounds good. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
You are the sun, I am the moon, play me. Writing this song in moist watercolors, the symphony on parchment is mine. Neon notes strike the page, sing the song center stage as tangerine and periwinkle shine. Fingertips tickle the chords and stroke keys, they strum plucking heartstrings too, and the pictures that mark in my brain as curves arch flash the Kodachrome snapshots in view. You whisper the bridge in the chorus, sliding palms on the flesh as voice plays breath, spiced musk cologne from arousal homegrown, marking signatures on the naked displays. Now stiffened at star-thrusting pitches, scale the clefs tapping treble and bass, pound out the tune, sailing pulse to the moon, orchestrating the climax wrapped in my embrace, commanding the grin that you leave on my face. You are the words and the tune. Play me.
And, And this is why we call Deb extremely the sensual queen. I love fingertips tickle the chords and stroke keys. They strum plucking heartstrings too. I have an affinity for the piano. And I just thought this was gorgeous. And I will tell you, Titus, that voice, and you reading this, wow, that's just a whole different level on this poem. That was beautiful read. And in orchestrating the climax draft in my embrace, commanding the grin that you leave on my face. What great minds are in this poem. Deb, this is beautiful. And again, Titus, you just brought it to a completely different level. Yeah, it's just essentially, and it's beautiful. And let's see, Wayne, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think Titus did a wonderful job with Deb's poem. It's kind of something new for me. I never heard anybody read another person's poem that was so much love in it. That's something we should always try to do, read someone else's poem and put the love that we cover that person in their poem. I'm impressed with this. It's a good job. And something I hadn't thought of before. Good job with this, Titus.
Mm-hmm. And Rocking Tour, your thoughts.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who does that song. You Are the Sun. It's a beautiful song. It's still very much a Deb poem throughout. And, you know, like you say, as read by Titus, that adds a totally different dimension to it, because he had a little background music, if I'm not mistaken, and, you know, his own personal voice, his own inflection and tone, and all the emotion that she wrote into it as well, gave it shape and life. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it is absolutely gorgeous. And Pretty Bird.
I'm still stuck in the peel of the sound that is Titus saying moist, because I got stuck right there at the beginning. It was lovely. And so not to bring this to our Sunday night special, but I don't know. There's something, Titus. I gotta say, when you're reading Deb saying, you know, now stiffen that staff, dusting pitches, I can't concentrate. I just cannot concentrate at all. It was just wow. And so nice mix of her words and your voice. And I'm going to be listening to this again. So I'm a little bit distracted.
I know. Man, I could totally put a whole new sensual into that poem. Putting the sin in the sensual, Titus.
You know, I'm just going to put this out there. I've got a whole lot of naughty if you ever want to read one of mine.
Oh, oh wow, that might be a challenge there. All right, so I'm going to have you read another one before we play his. And Pretty Bird, I need you to read. I don't know if it should be Dabo or you, or who's best at limericks. Linda has one, but she wants me to make sure it's somebody that knows how to read a limerick. So.
I would offer up Rack because he's like the limerick king, but he ain't reading right now.
Yeah, he can't see. I don't have it in Braille. Hey, Titus said he will do this for you, Pretty Bird, if you're not watching the board. So,
I'm all excited.
There you go. So if you want to throw up Linda's Pretty Bird and go ahead and do her limericks.
I have a story about limericks.
Why don't you stop dancing, that is.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm literally like a little girl. Like, I'm all like, woohoo, with my little happy dance in my chair. And nobody needed to know that except for that I put it out there for the world. So there you go. So
I was going
to
say.
Because I can't keep anything in. I am not good at that. Sorry. The first person I ever blocked on AP was over limericks. Just so that you know.
That's funny.
Oh. You know, real quick, if we have the time, here's the thing. Yeah, no, you're fine. So there was a limerick contest, and the rule said that it had to be proper form. And then she gave three examples that were all very different as far as syllable counts. And I was like, well, which one do you want me to follow? And she sent me to How to Write Limericks for Children, to which I sent her to the Harvard poetry thing on limerick that says there are 39 syllables in a true limerick and all of hers were wrong, and then I blocked her. I just wanted to know her rules. So I did say that.
Oh my goodness. Here, throw that at me. Here you go. Here's something Harvard has to say to you. Go ahead.
How to write limericks for children. Know your audience.
You know, seriously though. But but I am happy to read for Liquid Damage. And it goes like this. This is a limerick for Deb. Let me put on my glasses, though, because this font and my eyes are not friends. Okay. There lives a boss girl we call Deb, who has lovely brains in her head. She I admire, and she so inspired me to write wonderful things to be read. She gives us a prompt to write to, and a word bank, which we use a few. Some beautiful quotes, that's when we wrote our poems that she would accrue. On Mondays, we read them out loud in front of a very fine crowd. Then each would comment on poem's content, leaving us feeling quite proud. Now, Deb is the reason I wrote poems about stars and about boats, about fairies and sprites, about days and about nights. So sorry if I seem to gloat. I think the best writing I've done was for Deb's show that, to me, is number one. It makes me shine bright. I just love Monday nights where Deb makes sure that we all have some fun. So for Deb, I have something to say. You're the best in every way. I love you, my dear. I hope that is clear. And please have a delightful birthday. End poem.
Okay, first off, a stunning rhyme, cadence, and limericks. I don't know if I even know how to write a limerick. I'll have to look that up and see if I could possibly take a shot at that. Thank you, Linda, for telling me and going, hey, it's not that hard. Look, I did it in several stanzas. This is really great. I agree. Some of the best writing I've done is for Deb. I got several front page picks just from her shows. And I know that AP has. I know that a few others have. And I think that, you know, just to bring out some of the best in the creators that she has around her, it's just stunning. So I know you read it with extreme perfection, Pretty Bird. what did you think of it?
Well, I love limerick chains because they get to tell a story, and I have that cadence that kind of frolics. I don't do lighthearted, so my limerick chains are murderous. So I found this delightful. And what a lovely tribute. I enjoy tribute poems because you get to see the reflection of people or the reflection of their perception of the people. And when it kind of mirrors your own, it's all warm, you know, it feels very like love. And I really enjoyed that. It was a pleasure and an honor to read this. And I'm glad that I didn't butcher it or trip over my own tongue because that's always a fear for me because I talk faster than I think, maybe, or the other way around. I have no clue, but I stumble. And this is just lovely and full of affection and a very, very fitting tribute for our Miss Deb.
Yeah, I agree. And I just lost Heather. I was going to ask you a question. All right, Racking Tour, your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know Harvard's opinion on limericks. To me, they're meant to be bawdy. So it would be hard for me to write something a little more tame. So she did a fantastic job with working that into the poem itself, you know, the content. I don't know. Maybe it's just my lack of self-control, but I just I enjoy Limericks, and she did a wonderful job, like you said, with the cadence of this, and I like, you know, the way Pretty Bird describes it. They tend to frolic, so when you read them, you know you almost slip into that mode, like you said, where you almost get tongue-tied sometimes because you want to go a certain direction, and there's usually some alliteration and things in there that make it difficult to say the line without tripping over yourself. Lovely, lovely job, Linda.
And just for the record, they are supposed to be a little body and humorous. I mean, at least humorous. They tend to be low rent humor. Traditionally speaking, they're kind of like, you know, bar poetry, which is why everybody's from Nantucket. But it's they're awesome that way. I just am not that kind of funny.
Oh my God. Mm.
So, Hatter, I know you had to drop away, but did you get to hear Linda's poem?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I was doing it. I'm trying again to call her.
Okay. I am actually going to go, if you would throw mine up there. And then I'm going to do Titus again.
Well, I would, but I don't see it on your list.
It's not in there?
It could be, but no, you forgot all about yourself.
Go figure.
I'm having a coffee myself on mute.
Okay. Let's see. You would think that I would be able to do that, right? But no.
No.
I thought I put it in there. Well, see, it shows you what I know. Not at all. This is what happens when I try to do things more than one at a time. It's just not something I can do. So if you ever want me to do two things at a time, we'll all know that I'll screw one up at some point. But that's because man wasn't meant to do two things at a time. There's no such thing as multitasking. It just means your brain is split into more directions than it should be. At least that's my theory on it. All right, so there it is. This is my tribute to Deb and her beautiful birthday. And it's called Melted Crayons. Purple, the color between red and blue. Indigo shades gleam in dark blue and purple too. And mauve, all chant to royalty. But upon her ebony hair, you'll find no crown. Peacock feathers, roses in pink and plum colors. Pitch black tails and bloody red trails, pea green vomit, oil blue seas, a master poet of imagery. Oranges and russet cinnamon, blueberries, sugar, fairies, and silver stars, pomegranates of rubies, peaches sweet, all written to taste in visual colors. Turquoise wings of butterflies glide on tangerine sunsets in a sangaree sky. A moss-covered field popped with salmon-tinted springs. Pictures are words, or words pictures instead. Melted crayons on the page tell a story to all who dare read her sensual heat. Prepare for a giggle or a smack in the face, or the burn from the wax the melting crayon makes. End poem.
Aww. You know, you started so sweet. And it's all about that melted wax burning a little bit because, you know, you just can't kick it out of us, can you? And so I love this because, you know, she is all about those fabulous colors. She has a vast crayon box, and you absolutely did that justice in this. And I'm loving that you go from the colors of royalty to pea green vomit. to, you know, a smack in the face and burning wax. You have touched every faction of what makes her and what makes us love to read her stuff. And I find that to be amazing. So that is most, most excellent. So Hatter, what are your thoughts on Melted Crayons?
Might take him a minute.
I'm still having something. I can't stop.
Okay. Now. Okay, not a problem.
And Rack.
You can't talk right.
I see. Your thoughts, Rack.
Yeah. Yeah, she even managed to get Sweet Peaches in there. So, you know, the whole thing was lovely. You know, melted crayons. You could take that in multiple directions, and she certainly did. I love the close of it, and you know, the idea, you know, when you're writing anything for Deb, that you, when you include the colors like that, you know, I could see her puffing up her chest, you know, feeling the influence that she had. When you thought about some of those colors, you threw me off a little bit because you meant one of the first colors you mentioned was purple, and that's one of the colors, one of the words that don't have a true rhyme. You know, it's like everyone talks about orange, but you know, we kind of debunked that one. But you know, purple also supposedly doesn't have a word that rhymes with it. So I don't know. The whole poem was gorgeous, though. You know, and yes, it did rhyme, which I know is also out of your wheelhouse. I enjoyed it.
Right. And Wayne, what are your thoughts?
Well, I said it's a wonderful dedication to Deb. We got the color of our crayons. Well, the crayons is a little messy, but as the theme of the show says, who cares? By the way, where's Berwick went in this poem? Great job.
Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and do Titus's now poem for Deb.
And while I am pulling that up, the word "cripple" with a C instead of a P is a kind is a horse's ass.
Cripple?
Yes, it's the rump of a horse.
Nice.
And we're educated by Pretty Bird tonight.
Well, by Google, because I know nothing from horses. I know a lot of asses, but not so much horses.
All right.
So Titus
so
is on
we
the
have...
floor. Just say when.
Go for it.
The unconditional cinquain crown. Content. Where this silence includes a thought or two, separates the free will without testing. Honest to be yourself, notably still loyal as if worship, extended faith, certain. I feel to which all peace has gained more luxury. Now, at any time in my life, fearful, includes without no doubt from those my choosing came, would enable me to require a peace.
Oh, wow. This is another beautiful read by Titus. And I have to say, I really like the second and third stanzas. Honest to be with yourself, notably still loyal, as if worship extends faith certain. There's a lot say about that. Faith and worship are something very deep and personal, and you know, I think that having to say that about anyone, I think that's just pretty stunning in itself. And I believe you have to always be honest with yourself, but the way it's phrased in here and is attributed to him, I think is gorgeous. And the third stanza where I feel which all peace has gained more luxury now at any time in my life, fearful. I had that a lot a few years ago before heart surgery where I needed to be at peace and I found that peace. And, you know, I think I was probably more fearful at any time in my life during that time, but this reflects a lot of what you can do and what you can find. And, I really like that now at any time in my life, fearful. I think that conjures up a lot of things for a lot of people. And I think it's just a beautiful tribute to Deb. and I would enable me to require repeats. I also like that because we're going to be all need to see those. All right, Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
Well, let's start with the title. I love that he chose cinquain instead of quintet because it's a much more elegant word, number one, and all of his stanzas are five lines, and I kind of love when he speaks these little things in there that are somewhat easily overlooked, but I love them because I'm just like, ooh, look, he did a thing, and so I find, not really, and so I embrace my nerdiness, and yes. And that first stanza, content where the silence includes a thought or two, separates the free will without testing, or the free will without, as in the opposite from within. And then, you know, I could read that like a million different ways, but where yeah. The silence includes a thought or two. I love that feels peaceful. I love that allows for not strict solitude. I love that it allows for just human nature. And my unfortunateness is that a thought or two for me leads into 200 or 300 all at the same time, running me ragged, wearing me down, and I overthink, you know, how to breathe. So there's that. But to read that is, it feels almost like I'm floating with enough room in my head to exist in a place that doesn't give me anxiety. And that's only a few words. Like, each stanza has its own brevity. And you just completely pulled me into, or lulled me into, or however you want to put that, a sense where my own reality isn't, where I feel like I'm floating just in your words. And I tell you what, Xanax doesn't put me in that place. So that's some powerful verbiage. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. And I believe JCA 608, that's JCA, right?
Yeah, that would be JCA. Where is he?
Yes, joined us. I'm so happy. I'm excited. I got it right. Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, I think this is a lovely poem. It's written in the style of that thing Titus Wright in. It's got great flow and emotion in this poem. I like the theme, be at peace, be honest, and be yourself. It's a very meaningful poem, not just poets, but for everyone. Great job, and this wrote 13 years ago. That's amazing. He's been a hell of a poet for a long time. Good job.
Yeah. And Rackentor, your thoughts?
It's beautifully contemplative. And, you know, when you combine that with his voice, I don't know. I always get the sense of almost, you know, I want to say King Arthur, a knight telling a story, you know, or a bard when I listen to him. And, you know, add that to the thought of what he's talking about. And, you know, when you're doing a tribute to someone, you think about them, obviously. So, you know, that whole idea combined with the story that he tells just amplifies the thought itself. And you know, like Pretty Bird mentioned, you know, little touches that tend to go unnoticed when you do a form or something like that, that, you know, sometimes even if you don't recognize it for what it is, you still can appreciate it without knowing why. And you know, he's got that quality that you know, he'll read something and it'll just hit you in such a way that, you know, you get that warm feeling, and you sometimes you don't even understand why. It's just, you know, a mood that he kind of puts you in, and that he's able to do. So that's a skill that tends to make several people, some of which myself, one of which myself, I guess, jealous. So there you go, Titus.
Yeah. So, I think, why don't we have, Rack, did you bring one for tonight, or is that for your show tomorrow?
Yeah.
No, that's for tonight.
Okay. Let's do that one. I don't think I have that one in my group either.
It's in the studio.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Which studio? Okay. I'm glad you guys are on top of things. I am not.
Disney. It's in Disney.
All right. Let her roll.
Well, as soon as my computer says, you know, I can. Give me 1 second. I'm having technical difficulties. You know what?
Chicken butt.
Oh, no. Wait.
Rock.
Okay. Stop being dumb. Not you guys. The studio.
Roll.
Continue.
Yeah, the studio just asked me if I wanted to end the show. And I'm like, no. Stop.
Yeah, I'm back.
All right.
At least it gave me a warning it was going to kick me off. Oh, for Pete's sake, it's going to do it again. Here we are. Hold on a second. Da, 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 da. And I'm going to click this button, and hopefully it will play the thing whether or not it kicks me off. Here we go.
All right.
You inspired me by Raconteur. Delightfully detail-oriented, emotive, and inspiring, bona fide artist, original in every way, relatable, admirable, heartfelt storyteller, learned individual, exceptionally creative, enchantingly mysterious lady. That's Deborah Lee. End poem.
Wow. Such great descriptions. I love bona fide artist, heartfelt storyteller, enchantingly mysterious lady. Wonder what mystery she holds for you, Raconteur. But that's tonight's show. We'll move on from there. No, I really like this. I think it's a beautiful tribute to Deb, and it definitely puts out some of her great qualities. Thank you for bringing that. Let's see. Hey, Jay, did you get to hear that?
Yes, I did. And, I'm not going to let him live down that accent that came through on Storyteller. So, the heartfelt storyteller. Okay. Oh, I love this. This is great. Wonderful acrostic. Great the way you put it together. And just a dynamite poem all around. I really like that. I love the descriptions and the overall dedication that you put into this. Excellent.
Thanks, Jay.
I agree. And Hatter, if you can.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you brought this up. Am I on mute?
We can hear you.
When you said learned, now there's other words that that are like that. There's two others, and they're supposed to be, but to have the double, the two syllables rather than one. And I write it in such a way, but without it, to which somebody would read it as one word, like learned, instead of learned. That makes sense. Let's see, what's the other word? The sacred.
Beloved.
I can't think of it. Yeah, there's a number of them, how you speak, but you are the very first one that I've run across in I don't know how many years to use that learned. I mean, and JCA was right, the storyteller.
It's a Jersey thing.
Jersey, what's the in this year in North Carolina?
No, I am currently in Wisconsin.
Ah,
well, that's cheesy.
Now,
good Lord,
chatter.
I can hear some of the accent when Raconteur speaks, but like that when he ended that storytelling. But other than that, I don't hear. Well, Wayne's got a strong accent, like Tennessee or Kentucky.
Kentucky.
But I mean, do I have a California accent? Is that a strong for you guys? I mean, I don't hear it, of course. No, I could.
Well, you're not a Valley girl.
No, that's Southern. That would be Southern Cal. Yeah, it'd be Southern Cal. But California is a big state. It should be at least two. Northern Cal, Southern Cal. I really wish they would do that. But
no Cal, yes, SoCal.
Yep.
I had a girl from England say that I had a strong California accent compared to she knew somebody from Dallas. She knew people on the East Coast. Oh, really? Just wondered if you guys heard it. Because accents are huge when you're trying to rhyme.
Yeah.
I got another comment the other day on something I wrote recently saying, oh, I like the way you use near rhyme. And I read it. I was reading it to my roommate. And I said, well, I bet, I don't even know who this person is, but I bet she's from England and she was from Ireland. They're the ones that have biggest problems with my rhyme. So it's got a huge influx there in the difference of who's reading it and how you read it. Now that I got off topic, sorry.
That's okay. Wayne, your thoughts.
I think it was a lovely tribute to Deb, and in reading Rex's voice, which you can't beat that when you hear the lady and you hear Rex's voice, you got to fall in love with it. And a great little crossing you wrote, and enjoyed a whole lot. Good job, Rack Man.
Thanks, Wayne.
We call you Roxanne.
Yeah. And pretty good.
I enjoy a good cross stick. She is all of these things, and we all know her to be all of these things, and so it's perfectly fitting. And how wonderful that heartfelt storyteller. I mean, that's kind of what that's like the basis of all writing, you know, whether it's poetry, prose, anything that you do. If your heart isn't in it, it's going to fall flat. And her heart is definitely in it. So well done.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're welcome.
Oh, okay, Pretty Bird, I think it's time we heard from you and your call.
Oh, all right, mine's short. Give me 1 second to find mine. Here it is.
As the bird flies.
This is Color Palettes and Rainbows. And it goes like this. Pink taffeta memories, light corners long forgotten, lit by a sea of textiles found swimming in words. Lifted spirits and feathers placed one by one, Icarus flew without fear. Constructed, reconstructed, there is patience and hope and kindness, a foundation to all the best this life offers. To climb sugar floss and touch the stars, to slide down rainbows into whatever treasure should lie there. For all this, I am thankful. And poem.
Wow. You guys are just knocking them out of the park tonight, let me tell you. I like that you're graceful. I love that ending. Palettes and rainbows. Pink taffeta memories, I like that line a lot. Lit by sea of textiles found swimming in words. Oh, you make me so jealous, woman. But, you know, this is beautiful. That's my word for the night. It's beautiful. If you haven't figured that out, I love the imagery in here. I just love it. Just to think of what you're talking about, and when your metaphors, of course, you're a metaphorical mad genius. But I love to climb sugar floss and touch the stars, to slide down rainbows into whatever treasure should lie there. Yeah, shouldn't we all be so bold just to slide down rainbows? Unfortunately, I find myself in too many thunderclouds, but I should find those rainbows and slide down them. I like that message, my dear. Let's go with Hatter, your thoughts.
Yeah, this I always could hear a certain pattern that Pretty Bird writes in. This one barely touched on it. Only because she used shorter lines. I think is what it is. But the I was waiting to hear it. It does at the very end. She's got a storytelling way of introducing a stanza, the meat of it, and then the last one is almost take a breath. And I wanted it so bad.
You're awesome.
Wayne, your thoughts.
Well, every time the pretty bird reads, I get all excited. I don't really hear what he says, but I'm excited about it. Yeah, thinking up in Neverland, thinking, well, that'd be funny to get a hold of that. But maybe I'm wrong. It's a great job there, pretty bird. I love your voice. I'm in love.
Well, thank you.
You don't know if it's really her sometimes.
It's really her. I've met her in person. It's really her.
I think one of the greatest stories I've ever heard. One of the greatest stories I've ever heard was her faking a recording live. That was hilarious.
That's my trauma right there.
I know. I was told that. I couldn't quit laughing. I go, that is remarkable.
We had to get around here somewhere. That was the easiest way to do it. All right, JCA, your thoughts.
Well, she started off with a couple of crayons there, the pink taffeta. Really enjoyed that, bringing out the visions of it and working little by little in the different aspects of the vision. And I really liked the way you did that. But then you brought in it, not only what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. When you said, "Lifted spirits and feathered place, one by one, Icarus flew without fear." You know, we could always at times be the Icarus, getting too close to that sun, but we don't have the fear of doing it. We go forward. We just keep moving forward. And then I see a little touch again right down on the bottom with the sugar floss and the sliding down the rainbows. Overall, just a wonderful, wonderful piece that brought in the glorious descriptions and some amazing colors, yet at the same time some amazing verbiage and action at the same time. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed it too. I really, the whole idea of that whole rainbow and just sucking the treasure, that's really sticking to me. I think we'll have to do all that more often. And we don't do a whole lot of messaging, good vibe kind of poems, and I really like this one. how about we throw JCA up on a board?
Don't hurt me too much.
He's trying to do
or maybe
voice.
Do. Or maybe do, I don't know.
That's Sunday night, dear.
Okay. All right. Well, we know how much Deb loves butterflies, so I thought I'd write a little story. And this is called Fluttering Cousins. Gold and onyx of the powdered wings stretch widely, fluttering tiger swallowtail hovering the whistling plains. Milkweed, the cousins, fading in still photographs, no pumpkin orange in obsidian black. Saline drips from this tigress with bellowed sighs, seeking the trail of the monarch kin, passing the lapis of the bluebonnet bells, coasting on the breezes of chamomile and dandelions. A chrysalis, two, then three, four, goldenrod, aster, and milkweed show. The tiger swallowtail smiles. Cousins will flutter and grow.
Well, I have to tell you, your second stanza just kind of made me sigh myself. Seeking the trail of the monarch kin, passing the lapis of blue bonnet bells, toasting the breezes of chamomile and dandelions. You have your taste, you have your smell, you have your vision, you have so many things that are in there, and we just lost JCA. I think it's absolutely stunning. So, Pretty Bird, your thoughts on this?
I absolutely enjoyed all of the imagery with the flowers and the details of the life, the details of the kind of life cycle, because I can't speak apparently, of the butterfly. And it's just wonderfully vivid. And it's a lovely thing to be carried off into fields of flowers and seeing those butterflies like they're right in front of your face. So well done.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I know how dear the monarch butterfly is to Deb. And I know she was happy when I told her, hey, we got milkweeds out here and I see monarchs every summer. And I see more and more as the summers go. So I thought I'd put this little story together from the aspect of Deb being the tiger swallowtail.
That is awesome.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
So, JC, you got one of the best vocabularies of anybody I've read on site here. You always say things in a way that I like to do, kind of just enough abstract where it makes a lot of sense. And I just love your poem. I miss your poems because you always got something nice to say that I never heard before. Great job with this poem, and I enjoyed it a lot. Good job, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Hatter?
Yeah, anytime you write about the butterflies, you know, I've talked about the clouds of monarchs that would come down our street every year. And they actually, that many of them fluttering their silent wings can make a sound. And it's just the softest, I don't know how to describe it. But, yeah, I agree. The second stanza really brings out the monarch Ken, blue bonnet bells. I know what they are. It was a good job, JC. Good to see you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Rocky Tor, your thoughts?
Yeah, you did a wonderful job with the butterflies and the flowers. The little bit of trivia I know about the monarch is there's another butterfly that almost looks, that's usually mistaken for the monarch, is the viceroy, if I'm not mistaken. One of them is poisonous. It's one of those things that mimic each other. So when you mentioned cousins, that was what I thought of that immediately, not the swallowtail. But, you know, that and using that one to kind of symbolize Deb, I mean, to using both of them, you know, butterflies in general is, you know, right in Deb's wheelhouse. So the whole piece about the butterflies and the life cycle, mentioning the chrysalis and the flowers and the plants that they're drawn to, that kind of define their environment, was wonderful, wonderfully technical and a beautiful way of bringing it out. You know, again, the usual storytelling. Great job.
I appreciate that. Yeah, one of the things that I noticed as a kid up at our lake cabin was always that there were a bunch of monarchs, one or two tiger swallowtails, you know, and that's kind of, it was always when I was a kid, that was always the ratio. It was like 10 to 2 or something like that. But as I got older and our house in North Carolina, there were more tiger swallowtails than there were monarchs. And it's almost like it got switched around and everything was turning kind of against what the monarchs favor and everything like that. And I know, like I said, she is a deep heart form. So I'm hoping I can just bring a little smile to her face with this, and I'm glad you guys
enjoyed
it. Thank you. Yeah.
JC, out west here, the monarchs had natural byways, so
you're either in their natural migratory path or you're not. That could possibly be why you saw some and not the other.
Well, I saw them both, but the thing about it is when I was living in North Carolina, we had butterfly bushes, two butterfly bushes, and they would always bring in the butterflies like mad, and we always brought in just a ton of tiger swallowtails and just a few monarchs, and it just seemed to me that was kind of an oddity why they wouldn't also bring in the monarchs. Because of we also had the honeysuckle growing on the fence and everything like that, so we had the nectar producing flowers that these type of butterflies love.
I see that's the difference between where you are and where I am. When you see butterfly nets, you know they're going after the butterflies.
Let's see, where am I at? Yeah, okay. I think that was it. I think you missed my comment, JCA. But I will say
that.
I did,
unfortunately. Yeah, it booted me off again.
Well, I said I felt you had all the textile kind of, you could feel that poem, and you could taste it, you could hear it, you could see it. It just had all those elements of, you know, bringing that story together. It just kind of wrapped you. It was a poem that wrapped you up. So I really did enjoy that.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we're going to be doing stories on Thursday. So if you guys want to check us out at that time as well, on noon Thursday.
When on Thursday and all that fun stuff? Give us more.
The Living Room. El Nostro Loreño presents The Living Room at noon Eastern on Wednesday. So we're doing a little story time. If you guys got anything that deals with a story, tells a story, poetry or short stories, we're having a little bit of fun. We want to do some stuff that's going to pick people up and make them smile and tell a few stories here or there. So we're kind of looking forward to it, and I've got a lot of people so far that are kind of chomping at the bit for this particular show, so I'm kind of excited about it.
Absolutely. Sounds wonderful. If I can ever remember that it's noon Eastern Standard Time, I would be there, but I'm running around and I'm like, oh, it's noon. And I'm like, oh, it should be 10 a.m. But
what day is that?
10 a.m., yeah.
That'll be Thursday, and that's 9 o'clock your time, Hatter.
Okay, 9 o'clock.
Yep, 9 in the morning. 9 in the morning.
Late one, huh? Okay.
No, in the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning. A.M.
Oh, okay.
It's in the morning.
Oh, it's okay.
It's a morning one.
Gotcha.
And Wayne, I got your comments, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure. All right, so next we're going to bring up Heavenly Angel.
She's on the board.
All right.
Butterflies to Angel.
The Most Beautiful Butterfly by Heavenly Angel. A beautiful woman in spirit and heart, drifting upon perfumed breezes and cotton candy clouds, the graceful flutter of periwinkle wings, giving of love from deep in her soul. She's a gift of beauty which emerged from cocoon to bless everyone she touches along the way. A one-of-a-kind rarity. May her skies always be filled with butterfly sunshine and honeysuckle scents to float upon. She is the most beautiful butterfly and poem. Well, I got to say, Heavenly Angel, this is a stunning write. It gave me all the right fuzzies. it is rare that you have somebody that is truly kind and wants to, you know, give as much as she can to everyone. But I love graceful flutters of periwinkle wings. I thought that was quite stunning. And the idea of just the smell of honeysuckle scents to float upon. Oh, would that not be just absolutely just heavenly for me? I love honeysuckle and magnolias. So that I thought was quite the imagery for me. And then
really got here.
Yeah. How are your thoughts?
I was just saying that the honeysuckle, it's real thick out here. It's hard to breathe sometimes.
Well, that's not.
So it's blooming in the summertime, yeah.
I have memories of pulling the plums out of them and sucking on the nectar when I was a kid.
Yeah. It was just sweet.
Yeah.
Wayne. Sorry, JC, go ahead, and then I'll have Wayne comment.
No, I was going to say that's very true about the honeysuckle. You know, because even as an adult, you know, you grab a hold of it and you just taste away at it. The whole piece here is just a gorgeous piece. She did give you the fuzzies. I think she gave all of us the happy fuzzies. Beautiful the way that was written and stuff, because it's. It just jumped off out of the page into a lovely feeling, and was a beautiful testament and dedication there. I love the way it was presented. Just an amazing job. It's a heavenly angel on that. I'm going to try to figure. I want to figure out what type of butterfly she put on that picture. I'm kind of...
Yeah, it's not gorgeous.
I'm looking at it. I think I'm gonna find it. I've got a picture of it right here. I'm just trying to figure out what kind it was. Because I'm really, really interested in that, because I haven't seen that one before. It's just a common blue butterfly. That's what it's called, the blue butterfly.
Pretty gorgeous. Rackin', what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the extent of my experience with butterflies is pinning them into books, you know, for science purposes, scientific display type stuff. So, you know, when you talk about their life, they're flying around and the honeysuckles and the way that they interact, it brings out a beauty that, you know, I never had before. You know, part of the equation that never really factored into things for me. It's just, you know, a more complete way of looking at things. And, you know, to use that to describe Deb is you know, very Deborah-like. you know, I love the way you did that, Angel. It was beautiful.
And paper.
Fun fact, I never knew that you can drink the honeysuckle nectar. It never to me. They're lovely. We had them all up in a fence at this house that I lived in before we moved here. But they were always like, I live in Florida, so all year long there's insects, and a bunch of the bees or whatever that was around there would kill my kids. So I stayed away from them. But I had no clue that you could that they were tasty. Yes, is really how they get their name. So I might have had a clue, but I did not. So learn something new every day. But this is fabulous. You can tell through all the poems tonight that Deb is very well loved and with good reason. And there's such affection in this. And she wrote this. It feels like she wrote this in all of her honesty, with everything in it being very, very real. You know, she is a gift of beauty which emerged from the moon to bless everyone she touches along the way. That is so beautiful and very true. And I've said this a million times, so I feel bad like I'm a broken record, but what a beautiful tribute.
Absolutely. I'm going to say hello to 408. I don't know that number.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. Who are you?
I
don't know
the number. I'm way busy. That's what they call me, way busy. But that's what I go by. Yeah, way busy.
Well, welcome to my show.
Thank you. You guys are talking about poetry and whatnot, I suppose. I heard that's what they're talking about here.
Yeah, that's what we do. We're doing a show for one of our readers tonight. Her name is Deb. It's her birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. I'm Sweet Pea. I'm the host of the show. You bring poetry for us to read? Are you here just to chat about poetry?
Yeah, I like to talk a lot, and when I talk, it comes out like that sometimes. Well, all the time.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Well, we're getting
Go ahead.
We're getting ready to read another poem, and go ahead and listen along, and then I'll listen to your comments afterwards. It's kind of how the show works right now.
Are you a member of all poetry?
I'm not a member of anything, you know. I do a lot of stuff with the social media and stuff, but I'm just interested in this kind of thing too. So I thought I'd stop in and say what's up.
Well,
are you on Instagram?
No, I'm not, I haven't stepped out like that too much like that yet. I'm not being selfish. I'm just being a little cautious. That's all.
No problem.
Hey, don't blame you. Well, we're with the group called Kima Voices, which is inside a website called All Poetry. It's one of the largest poet sites in the country. And a lot of us place our poems in there so you can read along. Unfortunately, if you're not a member or join that All Poetry, you won't be able to see the poetry, but you can definitely listen to it. So who are you going to put up, Pretty Bird?
Steven is up on.
All right. So let's listen to Steven's poem for Deborah Lee.
Here we go.
Butterfly Birthday Biddings by Steven 76. The light fluttering of flitting butterfly wings cannot be detected by radar, by sonar, sensors, or tapped phone lines. Veiled and silently touching all those who grow around her, colors of the rainbow flow with every gliding pass, bringing beauty to the air. But where slices of poetry are brought to life, she is seen and announced when a knighted piano player sings out, "Don't fly away." Happy birthday, Deb, and poem.
Oh, well, first off, Stephen, I like the fact that you sang. I'm never brave enough to sing during any of my poetry, my shows, or anything like that. I just don't sing. But I love the imagery in here, the light fluttering of flitting butterfly wings. I like that it can't be detected by radar. So all of the things that you put in here as far as your imagery and your story and all of that, I think is a beautiful tribute to Deb. And I would say, again, my favorite line in there is when a knighted piano player and sings out, "Don't fly away," which you did in a much better voice than I did. So thank you for that. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on this, please.
You know, I'm not really a huge fan of alliteration when it's pasted in every line, but he smatters it in here with the perfect amount, from the fluttering of flitting butterflies to the sonar sensors and bringing beauty, and it's just enough in this brevity to just kick up fences and be like, ah. So it's perfect use of poetic devices. And as far as the poem itself goes, you know, I like that there's this kind of stealth mode, you know, that it can't be detected by radar, veiled and silently touching all those who go around her. And I love that because, you know, plant seeds, the garden grows, you build these, like, online extended families, and she is, I was going to say the fertilizer, but that doesn't sound right. But you know what I mean. So I thought that this was a wonderful depiction of what Deb brings to the group. But I mean, she, without her, there would be no group.
Right. All right. Back to your thoughts, please.
You don't give something like this to someone with a warped mind like mine, because I'm hearing, stealth mode and I'm thinking bugs and government interference because of, you know, that kind of a pun, you know, butterflies and insects. And he's talking about radar and sonar and detecting things. So my mind got thrown in 50 different directions other than the one that he was going for, which was, you know, just the beautiful representation of Deb and the way that she kind of brings stuff like that to us. So, you know, again, it was a lovely thought, and you sent me on a lovely tangent. But you know, you need to sing more. I think that would have put me in my place.
He
does a great Elvis.
And okay, you said you were just busy. Do you have any comments or thoughts?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I was just thinking, you know, I was a hummingbird for a moment there, and then all of a sudden I went in from being a hummingbird to MC Hammer. Can't touch this. And, you know, yeah, you can't touch this, right? You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this, because you know how it is. It's under the radar. You can't detect it unless you're sensitive to this. Then you can pick up things in the spirit, and it's beautiful. But I thought, I don't know, I went from one extreme to the other.
Nice comment. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And then Mad Hatter, your thoughts, darling.
You know, my phone's frozen. I'm sitting there staring at the screen and won't budge. I'd have to hang up to reboot.
Let it go.
I miss you.
Let it go.
Well, I'm just going to let you listen then. Let it go. Go free. Let me see. Who's up next? My beautiful co-host who does everything for me.
R.S. Morris is on the board.
Oh, and we all enjoyed him. I can't wait to hear this.
And here we go.
I grew up in the 60s. Was a good time for me. Some say 2020's not looking good. Let's take a look back, shall we? Soviets shoot down powers, NAM on the rise, Fidel steals our stuff, thousands in Morocco dies. Bay of Pigs falters, pan shut down, springs a leak, Agent Orange visits Saigon, figure skating's future bleak. Eichmann bids all adieu. De Gaulle has a bad fright. Cuban missiles in position. Air France didn't take flight. Valley blows its top. Flora washes them away. Propane didn't dig the fair. JFK lives his last day. Philly, a race not happy. Plane carriers say hello. Seabird throws some flames. Voyager says howdy to below. Che splits other families. Malcolm and a nation tangle. Flyover tornado wreaks havoc. Watts and a city wrangle. Comes atomic, all Nippon landing denied. Flight 9/11 meets Mount Fuji. Topeka goes for a ride. Apollo roasts a capsule. Israel takes 6 days. Caracas is all shook up. The Silver Bridge betrays. MLK looks over his last day. Tet comes to a halt. Dugway sheep go to sleep. RFK loses an assault. Callie, not a happy man. Kennedy drives. Mary Jo dies. Camille vacays in the Gulf. Those crazy medicine eyes. Living the age of Woodstock, 60s were groovy, they claim, but man, I gotta tell you, makes the 2020s so far seem tame.
Wow, I gotta say, Mr. Morris, this was quite the poem. It kind of is a throwback for me to Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. But, you know, sometimes history, everyone wants to say, you know, we're living in the worst time in history. We're living in the worst time of history. And sometimes when you look back, you can really see that we're not. We continue to fight and improve. Maybe not as fast as some of us would like us to, but we definitely can. I know today's not the day to even think that we've had some serious things go on in our country today. But every generation has their things that go on, and every generation has things that, you know, we think this is the worst we've ever been through, but we don't know what happened prior to our generation. And this seems like it's been very heavy in the 60s with a lot of change in our country and a lot of things that happened. I really did enjoy this a lot.
I know what we're sorry for.
Go ahead.
We're sorry, Hatter. We're sorry for disco. Everything else was good.
Okay.
Everything was great leading up to that, yeah.
Oh, everything was good till disco. Okay. What do you think of Mr. Morris's poem?
I love his the way he delivers it. He's got a natural storytelling. Waiting for the punchline. I think a couple of times he starts that curve at the end where it's just funny as hell. Him and Gerald Green does the same thing. But, yeah, I love the recordings. It's really a good addition to his presentation.
Absolutely. And Track and Tour.
It's a wonderful history lesson. There was a lot of stuff in there to dig into, and you know, a lot of references to history. He grew up in the 60s. I was born in the 60s, so I missed some of it, but, you know, because of history, I recognized a lot of it. So he did it in a wonderfully poetic way. And it's like you used to get these things. They have websites that, you know, you look up your birthday and they tell you what the headlines were, you know. So it felt like one of those kind of sheets, you know, the things that you can get to look up. It was lovely. It was a beautiful idea.
Absolutely. And just Busy, your thoughts?
Busy.
You?
Me?
408. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really thinking how, you know, we look back at like the early 50s and stuff. They used to prescribe like, you know, like cough syrup to kids, you know, and it had heroin in it, you know what I mean? And stuff like that, you know, and they had pills for women, housewives. They gave them, you know, they had stuff in that, you know, amphetamines and stuff and all this stuff, or whatever. And then you could smoke on an airplane, right? You used to have ashtray on an airplane. You used to be able to smoke an airplane. You know, everybody's in there, right? You know? We evolved. We evolved, you know? And so I was thinking about that. And then I heard Malcolm X mentioned Malcolm. And I was thinking, well, he's talking about Malcolm says, you know, to what's his name, you know, Dr. King, hey, man, we ain't going to turn the other cheek, doctor. We just ain't going to do it like that. And Dr. King was trying to show him something because it wasn't Dr. King teaching anybody. It was the spirit in Dr. King teaching. So
Dr. T had to give him the other cheek because he says, it ain't me, bro. So I see the whole flow of this thing, man. That's pretty good stuff, man. Good job.
Thank you. And Fruity Bird, your thoughts, would you?
You know, when S. Morris tells a story, he could hide some subliminal messages in there, and I will just be lulled, listen anyway. He could have me doing all kinds of crazy amount of crap because his voice just pulls me out of myself, and it just, it's so soothing and relaxing. It's crazy. I could, like, listen to him forever. But as far as this goes, I think that what he did was kind of brilliant. He takes all of these snapshots of when we were on the verge of things, whether things came to fruition or not, and all of these high-tension worldwide things, and he puts it in bottom timestamp, basically saying, you know, it could be worse, and we got to do that, and it's a nice touch there at the end. You know, the last two lines are like, here's all this heavy stuff, but you know what? We can do that. We'll be fine. And so I find this theme wildly optimistic, and that is just fabulous.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Okay, so I'm going to ask Mr. Busy there if you have a poem to read.
Well, it's a poem that I got. It was kind of put together in jail, when I was in jail. So, and this other guy.
Before you read that, we should let you know the PG-13 show. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm PG-13. You know what I mean?
Perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm cool.
Well,
I'm cool.
some of our shows aren't. This one happens to be. So, thank you.
It's just a little thing about love is all it is. It's a little thing about love. That's
okay.
All. You want to hear it?
Right. Absolutely.
Love, 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 love. We're talking about love, ladies and gentlemen. Love, and love generates love, and love means so many things. Not a seal of approval or diamond rings. It means to me a very great deal. Trust and honesty in how you feel. The vows are sacred to be cherished and chewed more than just the words, I love you. So remember the words and what they mean, because love is to be felt and sometimes seen. My advice comes as no surprise, because love comes said with just your eyes.
Wow. I like it. I like it a lot. I love the free form that you use. I know that there are definitely, you should really look at all poetry if you get a chance, but I did enjoy that. I think, you know, love is exactly what you say it is. If you're not open, looking at it with your eyes open, God knows what you're going to get into. But I loved your cadence, and I loved your rhyme, and I thought it was a great deal. Very well done. And Rex, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a song that it kind of reminded me of briefly, and it's not the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love, but the Love, 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 and then you broke into the spoken word. The way that you read it, it almost needs to be read that fast. Otherwise, it's a totally different poem. So I really enjoyed it. And, you know, the thought's a simple one, but it's presented in a wonderful way. It's very relatable. And, you know, it's a great topic, you know, especially for poets, a popular one. So I thought it was very creative. It was great.
And Freebird, our spoken word queen.
No, I don't know about that. But I do love performance poetry. And I have to say, you started talking, and I got this huge smile on my face because it brought me back to the DJ at the Dance in Greece, because it had that kind of feel to it, and it kind of forces you to listen. And as you increase your urgency, it really kind of punctuated the piece for me. And it's a beautiful message, and it's not delivered in any flat kind of way. I don't think that it would be as compelling if it was a flat read. It was so energized that it kind of pumps people up listening to it, and it's almost like a rock and roll woman, and it was awesome. I absolutely enjoyed it.
Wow, man, that's amazing.
That's amazing because, no, I'm just saying, you know how love is. I mean, I said it when I was starting off with this thing. I said love, you know. Love means so many things, and it generates love, you know what I mean? If people worry about this and worry about that, you know how it just generates more of itself? Because in your mind, you're looking at a problem that you perceive, and you're magnifying this thing. And then here comes love, and love takes your mind off of that onto something that's right and true, and then you get the understanding, and then you're like, wait a second. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's love. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming and reading. We actually have one more poem to go, and then my show will be done. So thank you for coming. I also want to thank JCA, Raconteur, Wayne Jett, Hatter, my co-host, and then, of course, the most gracious of them all, who I could not do anything without, Miss Pretty Bird herself. You mean a great deal to me, girl. And we are going to play Frank's poem. And I am correct, Freebird. That is the last one, right?
let me do one quick sweep. And let's see. Yep.
All right. Good. I got it right on my own show. Yay. All right.
Frank is on the board. Just say when.
When?
Here we go.
12:30. In the kaleidoscope of the vast garden, there is a beautiful flower to be seen there, flourishing with crimson petals and sepals, like the fountains of lavender cascades. Beneath the shape of the vanilla clouds in the pastel shade of the sheen of indigo is this unique and vibrant COVID bloom, a token sign of the celestial nature. By amethyst violets and lemon marigolds, blue jays and cardinals join a choir of birds who sing to her the songs of a symphony as the petals dance with the raspberry notes. The pink balls of the cherry trees applaud for the periwinkle sky of angels and butterflies. A wind of heaven blows sounds of harmony to the feet of the peppermint fairies. Beyond the caramel roofs of maple cottages, where the echoes of her name resound over the Shamrock Valley, so lively and colourful, when the spry children saunter towards the hills. She is the purest of all fragrant flowers, and the scent of her enrapturing smell is the sweet intoxication of nature and love, for she has ever my beloved blossom. In the poem.
Well, Frank, I got to tell you, I think this is probably among one of my favorites that you've written. I love it's just stunning in color and metaphor, and your imagery is off the charts. I have to say I have a lot of writers' jealousy here. Your first stanza just blew me away. Flourishing with crimson petals and sepals by the fountains of lavender cascades. I wish that was my line. But, you know, you're the brilliant man who thought of it, but I just really, really enjoyed that. And what a beautiful tribute to our Deborah Lee. Her being your beautiful blossom. But there's so many things in here that she would love, such as your periwinkle sky, your angels and butterflies, the Shamrock Valley. Just there's so much. And I love the saying, with the spry children saunters towards the hills. I love the word saunter. So just another fabulous job by you, Mr. Frank. And I'm going to go ahead and give us your comments on this one.
Oh, well, you know, I'm crazy. So you got to remember this, okay? I'm not normal. So as long as you know what I'm talking about.
Welcome to the club.
You're in the right place.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit out there. So, you know me, when I listen to stuff, I may get some other kind of interpretation. So I'm going to go for it. You ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I felt like, you know, we have a spirit, you know, our little spirit, you know, and I just felt like the spirit was speaking on the natural, the natural, when we look at our two eyeballs into the natural realm. I think that it's just kind of telling this little thing about when we get planted, you know what I mean? It's like being in the garden, you know, and I was thinking of myself as a rose in the garden. As I was listening, and I thought about all the things that I'm going to need to grow to be so beautiful and amazing looking, and I started just going into this thing about, you know, I'm going to need some sunshine, I'm going to need the night, I'm going to need some dew, I'm going to need some water too, I'm going to need some fertilizer. And I was thinking about dying to myself and that stuff that I die to, because it's not about me, which would be easy to see that this is good fertilizer. So when it falls down to the ground, the soil where I've been planted, I'm thinking, man, I'm just so blessed. And I was like, wow, amazing.
I like your comment. I like where you go with things. That's pretty cool. Rack and Jory, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm stuck on spreading fertilizer at the moment. I thought it was a great piece, though. You know, one of those things, you know, I usually take that metaphor in the negative way. So to use it positively, it's a good thing. But the content of what you did, Frank, you know, is very Deb friendly. You know, all the things that I know she likes, you know, butterflies and the color periwinkle and things like that. And then you did it in your own fashion, you know, like you usually do. It was a beautiful story and a lovely ending. You know, it almost felt, you know, like you were asking her out at the end. It's lovely. It was a beautiful, reverential piece.
Absolutely. And Pretty Bird, you have the last comment of this beautiful show tonight.
Oh, I'm going to put you right in the gutter. Okay. Well, first, I want to say my philosophy on poetry for Mr. Way Busy is this. If you see it there, it's not wrong. Regardless of the intent of the write, poetry, more than most other forms, is alive, and it is very much dependent on the mood with which you read it, your experiences in life, what you are prepared to pick up on emotionally. So if you see it is there, it could be, you know, out in left field that you think, but if you see it, it's there. So don't ever feel bad about feeling some kind of way about some poem.
Yeah. I just give you a little warning. You know, a little warning about
that's
all. Because I've already been with myself for a long time.
So my comment is, my first thing that came in my mind, and Deb, I'm going to apologize now, is like, Frank did Deb, and I don't mean it that way, but that's the way it sounds. But it's just that this is about as Deborah Lee as I have ever seen Frank get, and it made me smile, a big old smile on my face. Because, you know, Frank is very old world romantic and very kind of creepy. You know, he those are his two main wheelhouses. And this is
God bless
all,
that guy.
This is all crayons and flowers, and he pulled out, I don't know, 50 different color descriptors, and I'm just like, oh, that is fabulous. And it still had this wonderful flow and this wonderful lilt to it, and it takes you places, and that's probably just me, but, you know, that last stanza is a little sensual, and well, like, oh, that's Frank. And so I kind of love that, when it's all very light and very kind of earthen, and then you're like, she's the purest of all fragrant flowers. I'm like, oh, hello, Frank, how are you? You know, he gets
that way, which is a wonderful thing. So I really, really enjoyed this. This is my favorite one of him, because it makes me giddy.
Absolutely, I agree. Okay, my beautiful friends here on my line, and everybody that's listening, and all the great poets I had tonight. We're going to say goodnight. Thanks for coming. Deb, happy birthday. I know you weren't able,
wait,
to join us.
Do it all at the same time. Everybody say happy birthday at the same time. One, two, three. Happy birthday,
Beverly.
And let's not forget, for those who listen later, tonight's preempted show is tomorrow night at 11.
That's correct. That was the next place I was going to go. So if you were looking for a Rock and Horror show, which was supposed to be tonight before Sweet Pea took it over, that will be on tomorrow night, which is my normally night. So everybody, go ahead and write for Mr. Rock and Horror. The subject is Who Cares? So I certainly can't wait to be on there and chit-chat with you for a while. But first, I have to say goodnight to everybody here. So goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight. Pretty Bird, whenever you want to end the show, we're good to go. Thank you.
I'm ending it. I'm waiting for you. All right, here we go. Goodnight, guys.